good to be here tonight. Praise the Lord that we're able to come worship Him. Praise the Lord we still live in a country where this is allowed. You know, Booney pointed out this morning that he certainly felt the latter days were upon us. And, you know, I had to give a hearty amen to that. But praise God we're still here, able to look to Him with divine guidance and direction, preach the Word of God, come to worship Him. The scripture this evening is taken from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. Just one verse of scripture. I would tell those young kids in the morning that the children's devotion, that the book of Acts is the 4th chapter in the Bible. 4th book in the Bible. So that's the book of Acts, 4th chapter, that 12th verse. Verse of scripture we're all familiar with. There the scripture reads, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." You know, when I first came in, Gary gave me this thing, and I told him, I'll use that. It's what I use with the youth. Y'all never even turned it on. I'm preaching with this, I guess. Go ahead and turn it on. All right. There. Didn't even think about it. You know, you don't think about things like that, sir. I don't sometimes. But anyway, in the scripture which we just read, we find the two disciples of Christ, Peter and John. They just healed a crippled man, and then as a large crowd of people began to gather, and I mean the people were amazed at this. They knew this crippled man had been crippled from birth. They were familiar with this guy. They brought him up to the temple every service so he could beg for alms from the people. And the people coming to church, they would feel a little more obligated to give to him, perhaps, than if he were just on the street somewhere. And when he was healed and they saw him stand on his feet, the people, the scripture tells us, ran to where this was taking place at. And then Peter began to speak to them concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was at that time that the priest and the captain of the temple guard, along with the Sadducees, they approached Peter and John. They were greatly disturbed because they were teaching to the people and proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. Peter and John, we see in the scripture, were consequently cast into prison. But the gospel message had already been proclaimed, and many who heard the message believed. The following day, Peter and John were brought before the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law there, where they were questioned concerning this message that they had spoken to the people the preceding day. And it was then that Peter, having been filled by the Holy Spirit, began to speak, stating they were able to heal the crippled man in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom those questioning them had crucified, but whom God had raised from the dead. Peter then went on to speak those immortal words which we read just earlier, there in the book of Acts, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given unto men under heaven by which men must be saved." The scripture then goes on to state that the Jewish leaders observed the courage of Peter and Paul, and they further observed that they were uneducated. They were ordinary men, and they were astonished. And the scripture said they took note. These men had been with Jesus. Tonight, is this gift of salvation yours? And if it is, are others, upon observing you on a daily basis, able to determine you have been with Jesus? Let us pray. Our dear, most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your precious holy name. Lord, once more, we're glad that we can be here tonight. Lord, we praise your name that we can open your precious word. Lord, read the scripture. Lord, may we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against you. May your holy name be uplifted. Lord, we pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of each one of us here tonight. Lord, should there be one that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord, that you would convict them of their lost condition. Lord, Christians that need to rededicate lives would do so. Your precious holy name glorified, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen. In considering the term salvation today, there is another term with which we must also be familiar, and that term is being saved by grace. Little children, prior to reaching the age of accountability, are said to be saved by grace. That is, they're saved by the grace of God. Another meaning of saved by grace would be one who has accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Thus, he too has been saved by the grace of God. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never been saved. Now, the Scripture tells us in the book of John, the first chapter and the 12th verse, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In John 3:36, the Scripture reads, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. In John 3:18, the Scripture reads, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Understand, it is God who takes the first step in salvation. He calls sinners. Sinners don't seek God, but rather God seeks them. When Adam sinned, we hear God calling out to him in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse. He said, Adam, where are you? And when Jesus came into the world, he said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And again, he says in John 6:44, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And in Acts 8:30, the Scripture tells us, and those he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. Thank you. Excuse me. You know, I didn't think I needed a drink of water before I came in here. Get up here and the boys are doing all sorts of things. What are these scriptures telling us we just read? Simply that God is the initial actor in the experience of salvation. He is the one who sends the Holy Spirit to convict of sin. He shows us our lost condition and he draws us unto himself. Jesus said in the book of John, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself. And we are saved when we respond to that drawing power. One is lost when he refuses to respond. God is the one who draws, he's the one who knocks, he's the one who calls. And our beloved Savior tells us through his written word, John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I'll never drive away. A Christian has committed his life to Christ through the act of faith. We have said, in essence, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. I hereby place my faith in you, accepting you as my Lord and Savior. And according to your holy word, I now possess the gift of eternal salvation. And praise be unto God, that is exactly what has happened. Our precious Savior tells us in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Have you today experienced this vital saving relationship with Jesus Christ? In following our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us we are to make this known unto others by professing publicly our faith in Christ. Now, I have seen others that balked at this and said they didn't see why this was necessary. Well, first of all, God has told us through His Word, this is the thing we are to do. Secondly, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, a change has come over your heart. Your sins have been forgiven. The gift of salvation is now yours, and you will surely have a desire to share this life-changing experience with others. You know, I can remember well when Brenda and I went on our first date. Now, we were in high school back then. I was 17, she was 16. I invited her to the hayride, and she told me she couldn't go to that hayride. Said her family was going to Dallas that weekend. And I mean, I was dejected. Oh, I couldn't believe that. You know, it took a lot of nerve to ask in the first place. I'd never gone out with her before. I was trying to get to know her a little bit better. And a little time went on, and this other girl came up to me, and she said, Bill, she said, Brenda's family's not going to Dallas after all. And she started giggling and ran off. Well, of course, I called Brenda. I said, hey. I said, I understand y'all not going to Dallas. Well, no, we're not. I said, well, what about that hayride? And she said, well, I've got to ask. And she asked. And she said, okay, I can go. No one was more elated than I was. I mean, I was overcome. Woo! I couldn't believe it. I had a date with Brenda Hilly. Now that, you know, that was a big deal back then. You know, she's a cheerleader. She's best all around. She's a popular girl after school. She's going out with me. I thought, boy, this is a wonderful thing. I never forget when I went to her house to pick her up. Boy, I was on cloud nine. I was just so glad she was going with me. And you see, the thing about it is, by the same token, if you have been saved, you'll not want that to be a secret just between you and the Lord. It wasn't that I wasn't going to tell anybody I was going out with her. I told everybody. I wanted everybody to see us together. I was a proud individual. We must be proud of our declaration of salvation when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We will want other people to know we're Christians. We'll want them to know we're a child of the King. Now, what does the Word of God have to say concerning this matter? The Scripture tells us in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. Thus, we find in God's Word, salvation is an experience in the heart and a confession with the mouth. The Scripture goes on to state in Romans, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse, whoever believes in Him shall not be ashamed. If you are ashamed to declare that you are a Christian, according to the Word of God, you've not been saved. Now, on the other hand, if you're not ashamed of your Savior, you'll certainly have no hesitation to confess Him before others. The Scripture tells us in the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 20, 32 and 33, whoever acknowledges me before man, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And when our walk upon this earth is complete, Jesus has told us, if we confess him here, he will confess us there. Now, should one refuse to confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior upon this earth, Christ will also deny him before his heavenly Father. Such a person will hear those solemn words spoken by Christ as recorded in the book of Luke, the 13th chapter, the 27th verse, I don't know you or where you came from. Away from me, you evildoers. Those whom Christ addresses in such a manner shall be standing before the great white throne judgment, about to be sentenced to spend all eternity in the depths of hell. It's important that you make that profession of faith. And if you have been genuinely saved, you'll want to do this. Not only will you confess Christ before men, you'll follow him in believer's baptism, you'll become an active member of his church. The Holy Spirit will give you opportunities to outwardly express the salvation you've received. And when a moral issue comes up, you can stand and be counted on the side of righteousness. When believers gather to worship God, we can express our feeling by being present. When financial needs arise, we can express the love we have within our heart by the giving of an offering above the tithe. Concerning salvation, we first have an experience within our hearts. We then give outward expression to that inner experience by publicly accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Scientists have proven if an individual ceases to use a member of his body, the day will come when he'll not be able to physically use that body part. Whether it be an arm that's been tied to your side in an experiment or an eye that's been covered up, if after a person has been born again, he never exercises spiritually, he'll not grow spiritually, but rather he'll become a spiritual weakling. Now, there are several types of spiritual exercise available to us. First, there's prayer and Bible reading. The scripture tells us in the book of John, the 15th chapter and the 5th verse, Jesus Christ speaking, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And if the branch is going to grow strong, it must have a vital connection with the vine. And if you and I are going to grow strong spiritually, we must have a vital connection with Christ, the source of all spiritual strength. We will reach up to him in prayer, and he'll reach down to us through the Bible. Prayer is man talking to God. Bible reading is man allowing God to talk to him. At times, the pressures of this world close in upon us. And though the noises of the earth fill the air, we can go to our place of prayer, close the door there, and spend precious time reading the divine word of God and spending time with our Heavenly Father in prayer. Thus is a direct connection with God obtained, and consequently will grow spiritually. There's also the public exercise of Christian service. Normally, when we speak of Christian service, we think of perhaps someone teaching the Sunday school class or taking an active role in the children's department or maybe the youth. Whatever the talent may be that the Lord has given you, you should use it to his glorification. Don't hide your light under the bushel. You remember that little song you sang in Sunday school when you were just a child? There are also other things we can do in order to exalt the name of the Lord. You can bring a neighbor to worship God with you. You can go to that person in your Sunday school class that was absent from the worship service and tell them that you missed them. You can speak cordially to others at the close of the service. There are any numbers of ways that we can be of service to the Lord. There's simply no excuse for a Christian to sit idle when it comes to serving the Lord, when there are so many capacities in which you can be useful in order that his holy precious name might be glorified. There's plenty to do in the way of Christian service. And though we are moved to serve God by different motives, the greatest motive of all is that of love. If you truly love the Lord, your desire will be to serve him in some manner. Now, why is it today that Christianity isn't growing as rapidly as it should, or as rapidly as we would like it to, as rapidly as it has in days gone by? Why is it that so many people around us never go to church and seem to have absolutely no thought for spiritual matters? Could it possibly be attributed to the fact that the lives of practicing Christians are not what they ought to be? Could it be that we fail to remind others of Jesus? Could it be that people see no difference between our lives and the life of that individual that never gives the church a thought? If we exalt Christ as we should, our lives will be so vastly different from those who are without Christ, they will come to the realization that we have indeed been blessed. The Christian has happiness, joy, usefulness about himself that others are lacking. And surely, those without Christ will come to the realization that Christ, with the child of God, blesses them well. Has anyone looked at you and thought, he is a strong Christian? I wish I could be more like him. As children of God, we must live close to our Heavenly Father every day. Every word we speak, every deed we perform should exalt Christ. Our lives should be those of silent witnesses telling the world of the greatness and wonders of our precious Savior. Our Lord has told us through His holy word that as His children, He will assist us in our walk through life. When we go to God in prayer, seeking His holy will, many times He'll answer that prayer in accordance with our request. When sorrows fall across our path, our Heavenly Father provides that peace that only He is able to provide. He reassures us, saying in the book of John, the 14th chapter, that first verse, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." When we need guidance in our daily walk, our Heavenly Father tells us in James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it'll be given to him." When we've sinned and need forgiveness, our Savior tells us in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God doesn't save us and then leave us to walk alone. He goes with us every step of the way. He tells us in Hebrews 13:5, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." It's wonderful to be saved. Plus, in addition to salvation, we have the daily companionship of Jesus Christ, and we can lay our burdens at His feet. We can trust the everlasting arms, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who has all power, the one who can do all things, is ready to help us in our time of need. Praise God for His precious gift of salvation. Let us praise His precious name, for while we lived our lives steeped in sin, though He hated the sin that Satan had us entangled in, He loved each one of us completely. He loved us so that He sent the Holy Spirit to knock on the door of our heart, and it was as we responded to that knock through faith, accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the precious gift of salvation became ours. Today, as children of God, as His ambassadors upon this earth, we have the privilege of serving our Heavenly Father in any area in which we feel called. And may we exalt His precious holy name completely by the manner in which we live our lives. May we make Christ the number one factor in our lives. May all else rotate around Him, for it is in serving our blessed Savior that the very best that life has to offer is ours. Upon your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are completely forgiven. The Scripture tells us that God removes our sins as far from us as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more. Your name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and a home is prepared for you in the kingdom of heaven. Then, when your walk upon this earth is complete, whether you leave this earth through the avenue of death or the rapture of the church, you are assured of living throughout all eternity in the blessed kingdom of God. Praise His precious, holy name. This evening, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. Do so. If you're here as a Christian, you feel you need to make a rededication of your life to the Lord, the altar's available. May His precious will be accomplished completely in all that we say and all that we do. Let us pray. Our dear, most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise Your precious holy name. Lord, we're grateful for this opportunity to come and worship You. Lord, we pray that as the Holy Spirit moves through this congregation, Lord, if there is one here without Christ, Lord, they will see their need of salvation. Lord, Christians, rededicate lives to You. Lord, those without a church home, make this their home. Your will be done, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.